stream, stumbling in like a goose this gloop. Oops, shoop a dee doop, jumping right in when I hear the loop. Are alive.
Hey, 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 how's it going? Welcome, welcome back. I love you guys. I love everybody. I love Martin Luther King, too. Happy Martin Luther King post time. My name is Joe.
And I'm Carolyn.
And you're, in fact, listening to the one and only Carolyn and Joe Show!
Whoa, that was intense.
Hey, look, Cooney's in the house. How you doing, Cooney?
It's great that I'm really, really close, verbally to...
Coney?
A Ugandan warlord.
Yeah.
Is that what it is? Coney?
Coney. That's great.
Don't be confused with Coney and then with our special guest, Cooney.
That's right. Yeah. Welcome back, sir.
Thanks.
It's been over a year.
Enjoying a glass of water.
I am enjoying a glass of water.
Back in the newest...
H2O.
That's right.
Gotta keep hydrated.
Hey, Carolyn.
Hey, Joe.
How you doing?
I'm doing good.
It's post-Martin Luther King Day. Are you excited?
It's already over, so
that's right.
There's nothing to be excited about anymore.
We already celebrated. It's done.
It's one and done.
It's one and done.
The end.
Cooney, it's been... Carolyn, you said how long has it been... It's what, a year now?
It's been definitely over a year that Cooney has been on the show. We need to celebrate that.
But
that's a good celebration.
But you know what's really, really funny about that?
What's that?
I see Joe almost every week, and yet I have not been on that show for over a year.
And why is that?
I don't know.
No reason in particular. I can't think of any reason.
Joe and I usually hang out like during the AM, early PM. We don't really hang out in the actual PM, which is what is happening right now.
So yeah. it's like an anti-vampire thing.
This is quite rare. Because it's nighttime and I'm seeing Cooney.
Yeah, I know. It's a little weird for me too because usually we hang out during lunchtime.
Yeah, and now it's different. Now we're on the air.
Do we talk about our lunches? Do we talk about like on the show about like what we do for lunch?
Usually go to Popeyes.
Yes.
I don't think we've ever even delved deep into it. It's been a while since you've been on here.
Yeah.
And I mean, 2013. You might as well just stack up the guests like have we been doing. You know what I mean? Letting it happen, getting it out there. Cooney and I. We don't have lunch dates. We have lunch meetings.
Well, I mean, it's kind of weird because it's like we are trying to find... I don't know. I would say we are kind of cheap when it comes to lunch. We're very, very cheap when it comes to lunch.
Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, nothing wrong
at all. Well, you shouldn't say cheap. I've noticed that using the word frugal sounds a lot better.
Frugal. There you go. That's a good word. And then we take pride in our frugality.
I'm down with that.
Yeah.
What is that?
I respect that.
You're like, no. Take $2 off.
Because
of
really, why should you two guys who like are, you know, not like it matters, but you're heterosexual guys.
Wait a minute. Before you jump into heterosexual guys, it's the news music. Do you have any news for us?
Yeah, I got some news. All right, you guys. We're in mid-January, but come March 1st. You better be submitting to Magic Bullet Comics because I'm editing the newspaper and I want to see all of your work. It's a one page each submission of a comic in Magic Bullet newspaper. We'll be printing 5,000 copies and spreading them all around the DC area, Maryland, Virginia. We're going to be hitting up bookstores, venues, theaters.
East,
you will find
East
these
Coast,
papers.
West Coast,
Mid- East Coast,
Mid-Atlantic,
West Coast,
Canada.
Bookstores. You'll find it.
Yeah.
And in addition to that, you can purchase advertising space. And this advertising space is important because that helps us pay for the print fee. So, get in touch with us, Google Magic Bullet Comics, and you'll find my email, and you'll contact me, and you will say, I want an ad in Magic Bullet. And you will be seen by over 5,000 people.
Exactly.
That is a good deal to me. And we have very affordable rates. We're pretty frugal like that, Cooney.
Yeah.
Is that pertain to the same?
Not really. I mean, I feel
not
like
really.
It's not really. I do like the when I imagine like 5,000 prints or something, I just imagine you taking a big old bundle up on a skyscraper and
just
then
launching it.
Be like, from the take top. It. It'll be like how in Operation Freedom or whatever, how they tossed out those leaflets to the Iraqi people.
They're
like, you better get out of here. We're going to be bombing soon.
5,000 is a lot, though.
Well, I feel like it doesn't really apply to us because we live in the DC area, and I feel like that's illegal, right? To just start.
Just like,
just
basically.
Just paper the nation's capital.
Yeah,
basically.
Yeah. Or fly over
called?
The nation's
like,
capital.
Littering is against the rules, Cooney.
Sure.
Sure.
But we will be distributing them, and I mean, you'll find it.
Is it like a legal
magic rule,
or is it like a moral, an ethical, illegal?
Well, I think that is a, like, there's a thing, like, no littering, right?
Yeah, but it's like, the fee is like $5, right?
Is it? No, I've seen, I've seen
signs
pretty,
that said,
yeah,
like, several hundred dollars.
So I think we might not,
$5.
We might not be doing that.
Okay. Well, I would like
We'll be putting them in establishments that want to carry a magic bullet.
I would like to try that at least once, just to defy...
Defy the nation's capital?
Yeah, it's like, ha!
I gotcha!
Yeah, but it's like a piece of styrofoam that I just lightly just kind of just floats down.
All of a sudden you get like surrounded by cop cars, yeah, and you have to like, get on your knees! You're like, what?
What's going on, you guys?
And then you just shove the piece of like the cardboard like in your mouth or whatever, and you're like, I didn't see any littering.
So you're just depicting like the DC police as just
like Judge Dredd or something,
yeah,
like that.
Just a whole army
also,
of
also, if you're
bags.
Doing it all sneakily like that and just being like, oh, I accidentally dropped a little piece of paper.
No. I'm gonna look straight into the eye of the police officer and just lightly sprinkle styrofoam onto the ground.
That's like a protest face right there, man. That's like, right, you're like, what are you gonna do about it? Do something about it. He like pulls out his gun. You're like, okay, I got it. You like go and pick it back up again.
That would be the most messed up thing in the world. Is there any other news?
Yes, there is. On March 30th, Joe and I will be at Asbury Park Comic Con. Have you been to Asbury Park, Cooney?
Where is Asbury Park?
It's in New Jersey. It's like kind of an hour away from New York City. And Lauren Jaslow lives there now.
What's in Asbury Park?
Lauren Jaslow.
What's actually like? Is there
it's
like?
Basically,
to me, right now, the high point of one of the high, I guess, notorieties of Asbury Park is the fact that they shot scenes of the wrestler in it.
Oh yeah.
Remember
like
that
where
scene?
He danced
yeah.
with his daughter?
Yeah, like that yeah. whole entire warehouse that place. That's that's right there. That's like in walking distance from where
it's
the
like
convention
in the
takes
old
place.
Casino is. Or. It's basically like a rundown boardwalk.
Gotcha.
But they're trying to rejuvenate it back up, so it kind of has like some indie-ness to it.
And they actually wanted to shoot Boardwalk Empire there, like the actually like to build to like you know build the whole entire boardwalk set there. But there was some sort of politics that are like, no, you can't do that. And I don't know why.
I think
not.
It's like you don't want to like. It's kind of weird because it's like they want to keep the integrity of its original structure, I guess.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you know. They don't have enough money themselves to kind of like really take in charge of it.
They just want to make a stance without making any
yeah.
profit off the stance. So yeah, Asbury Park Comic Con.
It will actually be at the convention center.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right next to like it's right next to the water. It's going to be pretty awesome.
And then afterwards you have Awesome Con is coming up, right?
Yes, that's on April 20th and 21st at the DC Convention Center.
And we'll keep you guys updated on this like we do every single week. All you millions of people listening to the show.
Am I invited to the Awesome Con?
Yeah. It's in the Washington, D.C. Convention Center. First major comic book and pop culture
you
convention
go,
ever.
Mooney.
In the convention.
My birthday is on the 14th, so I think that you should hook me up.
Well, there you go. Maybe we can put you on a panel.
Nice.
Let's see if we can
put
you on a panel.
On the guest list.
you can't even say anything about my vocation or what I do or who I am. Just put
special
my
guest.
Name. Just my name. And I just stand in the background, dancing.
Do you think we should test that to see if we ever actually, when we have our booth there, we should advertise, Cootie Oe will be here from 1 o'clock, from like 12 o'clock to 12:15.
Yeah, have like a limited time frame.
12 o'clock to 12:15.
Only 15 minutes.
I'm just standing
so
there with like
you.
8x10s on my picture.
Because I don't know if I ever told you this, but like when I saw Frank Miller, like the first time I saw Frank Miller at New York Comic Con, like he had his signing, and basically he went out there. He went out there and signed 5 books and then left. Like, that's
it
all.
Was a
that's
15-minute signing.
That's all the time they had.
That's awesome.
And he
that's
only like, signed it, I believe, for, like, winners of some type of contest.
And I was like, you know what? If you want to, you know, put your name above everything else, just go out there and sign 5 books. You're like, all right, there you go. You know what I mean? I think you should do that. You're just going to sign for 5 people.
Can I also look like a crazed gremlin like Frank Miller is?
If you want to.
I mean, if you can, yep,
you can pull it off.
You have
a
certain amount of months left to do that. So
I would also like to wear t-shirts 3 sizes too big and a fedora.
But he wears like the photo vests, like that, you know, like the photographers are supposed to wear.
Yeah,
a red tie.
Well, for what point? For like, what's the point of that?
I don't know. He's serious about it, though.
He's just like, I need to wear this. I see a lot of like nerds wear that.
Or the vest?
Yeah. Cool. It's like a camo vest.
Do they? I haven't really noticed that. Or I don't really pay attention to what people wear.
I've seen some guys wear them. I'm like, what's the point? What? I think they, like, a lot of...
What do you mean, like... a camo vest? Is that what that is?
I don't know. It's like a tactical thing.
I guess. Well, it's specifically that, like, the vest that Frank Miller wears, that he wears a whole lot, that I've seen him in every behind the scenes, anywhere. It's like, it's literally a photographer vest. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's literally like you put your film here. You had film
anymore.
No,
I see a lot of nerds wear them. I don't know why, for what purpose, but it's...
Because they're ready to attack.
It's kind of interesting. Like, there's something about, like, there's something kind of, I guess... interesting or fascinating about, or they think it's a certain cool factor to wear clothing that's pertaining to a specific vocation or whatever.
I mean,
pertaining to military stuff. People like nerds wearing like old army jackets and stuff.
Now, well, I mean, what do you classify as nerds these days? Like, because now that's a sort of, it's always been like a thing.
That could be anybody.
Since the year that you've been away from this show, a whole entire giant nerd culture sprouted up. There's even fake girl nerds. They're coming out. You know?
That's kind of sad too, because it's like it's a style, not substance anymore.
Yeah, it's like, I mean, all right. So what pertains to you?
Do you,
like,
think there are fake guys?
There's
fake guy nerds.
Oh yeah, nerds? Totally.
Well, I mean, what to you, Cooney? Like, if you could sort of just structure what exactly counts as a nerd, like a real nerd.
I mean, if you want to go to the barest. Was like most lowest common denominator.
Like Milhouse.
No, that's not a nerd. Milhouse is like a spaz and a dweeb.
Dweeb
is actually like a loser term for a nerd.
Loser nerd.
So what's the ranking?
Yeah. For Milhouse?
For any, like, just for nerd, for like, no, but for like nerd, dweeb, all these like phrases.
Nerd,
dork.
I feel like it's an upper echelon of nerddom.
Nerd is like the king of nerds.
Yeah, and spaz is like at the bottom.
Because I feel like nerd used to be like, to me, used to be in conjunction with computers and knowing like,
I think nerds is like
tech and stuff like that.
Being on the borderline obsessed with a particular type of thing.
Yeah.
Like, what about a dork? What would be a dork?
Ooh, dork. I forgot about that one. That was pretty cool. Dork is like a step down from nerd, I think.
It's like a low form of a
nerd.
Geek.
Nerd, I think now... I'll be honest, the term has evolved over the years, but I feel like nerd is kind of like, you know, they have obsessions and they have particulars about a subject matter.
Yeah.
But they can function in society and people won't really look down upon them. Like, when things get weirder and weirder, then you start becoming like a dork.
Who's a nerd? Like, if you base a character on who would... Milhouse is not a nerd. He's now
like
dweeb.
Who's that guy who's on like who does the Doctor Who panels and he does the Talking Dead?
Who was that?
I forgot his name.
Was he on Chris Hardwick?
Chris Hardwick. Chris
Hardwick. Well, he started the Nerdist.
From Single Out and
the
from
Nerdist,
Attack of the Show.
Yeah, yeah. He is the Nerdist. He is what I would call like the. Nerd.
He's like
echelon.
The high-end nerd. He's like the celebrity nerd.
He is.
It's funny. He used to he worked with Jenny McCarthy. So he's surrounded himself around none.
I mean, like, there's something about him that's like sardonic and really like self-deprecating, but at the same time really fascinating and very, very, you know, well in communicating with himself.
Yeah.
But I feel like, you know, the more spastic and the more dweebish a person becomes, the less they're able to function within a group of people that's
Are you a fan of Chris Hardwick?
I am. I'm totally a fan of Chris Hardwick. I think he's a cool guy. I
remember because Brian when Brian Sarvis was at the New York Comic Con at the IGN panel.
Yeah.
Well, IGN room, basically all on Saturday.
Oh man, IGN. That's a website I haven't seen in a while. Yeah.
He hosts, Chris Hardwick basically was like the host of
the moderator.
The moderator, yeah, of the whole entire day, basically. Mm-hmm. And you know, Brian wasn't a fan of Chris Hardwick's, I believe, before, but he said like while watching him like, you know, basically have to handle like a rowdy crowd and make jokes and all this stuff, he says like, yeah, he's actually pretty hilarious.
He was sold.
Yeah.
I mean, the guy is just, you know, knows how to work a crowd.
Yeah.
He does it well. And he's also not like, you know, he doesn't give off an air of superiority, like he's better than them, or...
Is he like a king of the nerd at this point?
He is like king nerd.
Who's queen nerd?
Probably still Felicia Day, right?
Still Felicia Day? Is she?
I think
there
so.
There has to be someone else. No one else has defeated her for the queen of the nerddom?
No, I don't think so.
Do you have an idea, Carolyn, who's going to be the queen of the nerds, if we can define it? Lisa Simpson?
Why are we just naming off Simpsons characters?
Because the Simpsons,
we have to rank them.
The Simpsons has every type of character there is in the world.
It is.
That is what's amazing about Simpsons.
It is an
entire
town of stereotypes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like name. I mean, there is not one stereotype. They have the comic book guy.
And they're all relatively true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As much as people don't want to admit to be like, eh, I don't like believe in stereotypes, and then they totally do because there's a reason why stereotypes exist, especially even in cartoons. You know, it's like. Those are there for a reason.
Do you believe in stereotypes, Cooney?
Yes. Stereotypes are stereotypes because they're true. It's just an exaggerated form of the truth.
Now, when it comes to stereotypes, I remember we were talking about Django beforehand. So I do want to know on air what is your opinion of Django, because before you already had, I guess, warnings of like the flaws of the film.
I heard a whole bunch of people and critics there that particular like misconceptions or misgivings about the film,
because you working in the film industry.
Yes, I do work in the film industry.
I give you credit. Ooh. You get credibility though. I do give that credibility there. Or do you think there should be a credibility for people who work in the film industry to have their opinion on a film? How do you weigh that? And then we go into your Django commentary.
Okay, that's a really hard question. Just because, you know, I know how things work behind the scenes, and I know like the work it takes to make a movie. But sometimes, it's too, you know, and I went to film school, so I know like film theory, and I know the mechanisms behind plots and ideas and execution.
Yeah. Your understanding
my understanding is, you know, very clear about certain things, but at the same time, I feel like our job, right, as filmmakers is to make a movie.
And tell a story.
Tell a story and then to engage an audience.
Yeah.
And I think that if an audience member, you know, it's like, what, I mean, am I really like better than them because I know more stuff about how a movie is made? I think it's in the end, it's like everyone has equal power and say what they like and do not like. And
I remember one time having, I was editing a film. I was editing a film with Brian Sarvis, and we were debating, I did a certain cut on something. And he looked at it and he was like, why'd you do that? And it was literally, you know, I fought for my reasoning behind that, and he fought for his reasoning. And then one bullet that was fired was like that was sort of like, well, I forget what it was exactly, but it was someone said something on the count of like, well, I've seen more movies than you, so of course it's right. And I was like, wait a minute, that doesn't mean shit. Or everyone, you know,
everyone has equal say about movies, except unless if you're being a jerk about it, then you don't. It's if you're a good guy or an awesome gal and you have some real misgivings or criticism about a movie, then I feel like you're valid as the next person. But if you're just being a jerk about it and aren't not willing to hear the other side, then he or she is less valid in their approach.
And I always bring up for my opinion, I always bring up the olive theory. Lots of people love olives. I hate olives. It doesn't mean olives is bad.
Yeah.
Just because I don't like it doesn't mean it's bad.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And that's exactly when you look at message boards these days, you have a lot of people that take their time writing stuff and it's like responses and it's still misspelled and still horrible. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So anyway, just to do the Django Unchained review, I'm always, regardless of if I want to or not, I'm always going to be comparing whatever movie that Quentin Tarantino makes to Pulp Fiction.
Pulp Fiction? All the time,
because
right?
Pulp Fiction is like the perfect blend of highbrow and lowbrow.
When did you see Pulp Fiction? Did you see that like on VHS? Or did you
see
it like
I saw it on VHS in like 97 or something like that.
Like when VHS was like, holy crap, two tapes?
I know, but it's... No, there was only one tape, right?
No, but like there was a time, like I had to watch...
I remember Titanic was in two tapes.
Pearl Harbor was in two tapes.
Why?
Pearl Harbor. That was given to me as a gift from one of my Japanese neighbors.
What?
And I'm Japanese.
What is that supposed to say?
Is it like a nudge, nudge, wink, wink? It's like, hey, you're Japanese. I'm Japanese.
They did this to us.
Here's a gift for Christmas time. And I'm like, And it was like Christmas happened. Like Christmas is like 2 weeks right after.
Yeah.
Yeah. 2 weeks after the bombings. Because it happened in like December, yeah. I believe 7th or something. I don't know specifically, but yeah, that was really odd.
So you watched it and they're like,
yeah.
Huh.
Yeah. So anyways, Django Unchained.
Everything's always compared to Pulp Fiction.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not. It's nowhere near as good.
Well, let's see. Like, is when you saw
that's
Pulp Fiction.
That's the downfall of success, though. It's like people are always going to compare it to like your greatest work.
I remember, Carolyn, you were obsessed with. Like, you love Pulp Fiction too. Everyone loved Pulp Fiction. Did you? I mean, it hit hard. What was that? 94?
94, 95.
That was even. I remember when Pulp Fiction first came out. You know what were people quoting? The one thing people said about Django was it was the most unquotable Tarantino
Royale
film.
Royale with cheese.
Yeah,
and stuff.
There, it was so all over. Quotes.
And Samuel Jackson ranting and raving, as opposed to Samuel Jackson ranting and raving now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
I mean, what was your opinion, Carolyn, too, of Django? Let me compare with Coonies.
Did you go see it with Joe?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
$5.
$5 footlong.
$5 Wednesdays.
Why do you have to have a Vietnamese accent with that? I don't, anyways, please.
Well, I kept on comparing it to, what was the other film? Shoot. Now I'm like
Inglourious Basterds.
Yeah, I kept on comparing it. Actually, instead of Pulp Fiction, Inglourious Basterds, I was comparing it to because to me it felt like very much the same story. It's just that you're not dealing with Nazis; you're dealing with the way that white people treated the black people.
I think it's
slavery type.
Didn't
it's like the American version of the Nazi of World War II.
I think so. White people are the Nazis.
Well,
pretty much. That's kind of how like I. Like, they paralleled each other in similar ways.
I don't want to defend Quentin Tarantino, but apparently that's part of a thematic trilogy he's trying to do.
Oh, okay.
Oh, really?
Like, what's the next one?
I think it's called Killer Crow. It's about Tuskegee, like a bunch of
Native American?
African-American, you know, African-American soldiers in World War II.
Okay.
Who apparently they go AWOL and then start killing their white Germans.
See, but like, yeah, to me it was like,
it's like Tarantino, you know how really like thinks he's black.
You know how like Brad Pitt is like, I'm killing Nazis, and then like to me now it was like, I'm killing white people. You know,
I
like
get to kill white people. I get paid to kill white people.
Yeah, it kind of like felt very like the same. I felt like a lot of similarities in both movies.
Yes.
So I'm not like I don't want to like be super critical of it.
Mm-hmm. Why not?
Oh,
you paid
because
your money.
You know, I don't want to like. When I make art,
whenever like, I've been critical of anyone, it's just sort of just to make it better for the next time. You know what are you gonna
do? Well, he can't make it better. It's like that's the film. You know, no, what but I, like, mean? No, I guess he can learn from it.
Yeah, but
what I'm saying
is like, you know,
man, we are really just like digging into this thing, aren't we?
But I'm saying if you're gonna criticize it, I feel like if you criticize anyone, the proper criticize is always constructive criticism. So it's not just like, well, I hate black people, that's why I hate the movie. It's more like, well, it was too long. I don't know. Maybe it wasn't too long.
I mean, personally, my thoughts on it was that...
he doesn't have to listen to us.
Yeah, he doesn't have to listen to anybody. But like my personal thoughts on it was that it was enjoyable, but I liked some of the Kill Bill movies and Pulp Fiction better.
Yeah, Kill Bill, I felt like, had a better structure. It just felt like from beginning to end, it just flowed and... There's an understanding and an overarching structure and themes.
One and two?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That just kind of combined itself and it really solidified. But with this one, it's like you have the bounty hunter section. Then you have the weird plantation section where they just talk and talk and talk.
And literally each section of the film is divided by riding on horses.
Yes. And then, I actually
like that part.
And then
riding with cool music.
And then the main plot ends. And then you have another 20 to 30 minutes where other stuff happens.
Like, well, basically...
Well, I don't want to spoil us. That's
why not?
Yeah.
Well, the thing is, also, like, after a while, it actually did become predictable.
Yeah.
And I felt like I already knew it was going to happen for most of the film. And on top of that, the use of the N-word was like, you know, after a while, it's like, you know, haha, they're saying the N-word, you know? And, like, it's like... But then after a while, it's like, how many times did they actually say it? Like, I didn't count, but probably between 300 and 500 times. It was several times.
Did you have a problem with them using the N-word?
And I didn't have a problem with
it. No, I think it's, you know...
It was just, like, overly done.
I think I'm okay with it just because it's the times and that's what people said.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you're just kind of like...
It's method dialogue.
Yeah. Although...
Period dialogue.
Although I have to say, you know, getting back to like what I was talking about, like remember a couple shows I was talking about, like Lost and how I can't really be overly judgmental about the end of Lost.
Yeah.
Just because it's like I didn't make it and I can't really think of any other better idea for an ending.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's, I mean, like somebody could be like, oh, so what would you do then?
Yeah, yeah. Like, no, like, no, but I'm like, same thing with Django. It's like, I know the work that goes into it, and I feel really bad for criticizing it.
That's
but
exactly
like,
how I feel.
But see,
well.
Like, for me, it's like, if it's a real criticism, as a creator, I would take it. But if I knew the criticism was coming from bullshit angles, I wouldn't take it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I guess you're taking the...
I would want that
taking
criticism.
Taking it from people who are creative.
Yeah, I would want honesty. That's really what I want. I don't want... Because I bet a lot of times... Even specifically on Tarantino, and I enjoyed Django, but specifically I bet with Tarantino, where everyone thinks he's the hippest shit, and everyone's like, yeah, I love your films, I can't wait to be on, he's probably hears a lot of yes people. You know what I mean?
I feel like he's I feel like he's going full circle, and he's kind of lampooning himself now.
He's going to lampoon
himself. That's what I mean about
like
how with the snake
the eating the tail.
Kind it's like, how many times can you rehash that movie? And then I did not know that he's doing this whole trilogy of it. So if he's going to do it again, it's just like one race killing another type of race.
Yeah.
For, you know, I know why they're doing it. They're getting revenge and all that. But can't you tell that without being racial? Like, I mean, without... Or like,
I don't know.
Like, I don't know if there's another way to necessarily do that, but...
I know, that's...
But I did like Leo and the German actor, though. Like, the acting was good.
Oh, Christoph Waltz? Christoph Waltz is amazing all the time.
Yeah.
He's really good all the time. So, anyways, Carolyn, I'm talking to you right now, and there are certain topic matters that we need to discuss because we were talking about it earlier in the week, and we didn't even... you were like, we should have talked about this during the...
Yeah, the whole conversation ahead of Cooney, the whole time I was just like... And then especially afterwards, I was just like, we should be like recording this for the radio show.
What was this?
So we have to like redo the whole conversation.
Was this the conversation we were having about My Little Ponies again?
No,
no. Not
Bronies
thing.
No, it was...
BronyCon?
It was Girl Meets World.
Girl
Meets World, and also... Oz the Great and...
Yeah, Oz Great and Powerful.
Because there's this thing about like... I'm excited about The Great and Powerful Oz, but at the same time, I'm afraid, like, when you see the trailer, you know, it goes, you know, from the creators of from the director of the Spider-Man trilogy, and I'm all like, yes, Sam Raimi, I love Sam Raimi, and then it goes from the producers of Alice in Wonderland, I'm like, I don't know about that one.
Oh my god, my best friend, remarked on Tim Burton's Alice in Wonderland. He said, it's like reading a fan fiction.
Oh my gosh. And by the way, Cooney, I did see Frankenweenie this week.
Oh, did you enjoy it?
Yes.
I thought that was like the best Tim Burton movie you've seen in years, actually.
I sort of obsessed about Sweeney Todd, but the one thing I did love about Frankenweenie is the credits. If you see that, do you pay attention to the beginning credits?
The Disney credits?
Did you see where it said an actual idea created by Tim Burton?
Based on an actual, or not based on, it was just said an... Frankenweenie, an actual idea by Tim Burton.
After I saw that, I was like, I'm in, dude. When I saw that, I was like, I'm in, Tim.
It's an actual idea.
I mean, seriously, I think he's a very talented individual. He just kind of gets all worked up and...
But I think it could be, like you were saying, the yes man thing. I think people around him might not actually stand up and be like, oh, how about we do it this way?
Yo, hey, crazy guy with the crazy Edward Scissorhands
hair.
Just chill out on that.
Let's see what happens.
Everybody always will say yes to all these people because they're such a name value and like they do have that right. Like they've earned that. But at the same time, I feel like people don't tell them that things are a bad idea.
Well, look at this. All right. How many ideas were actually original ideas that Tim Burton did? Because, Batman, he didn't create Batman. He didn't create...
He did Edward Scissorhands, but also someone else helped him, right?
No, but what I'm saying...
Beetlejuice was his idea.
Nothing was source material. Like, he made his own source material. Because Mars Attack, he didn't create Mars Attacks. I mean, Charlie and Chocolate Factory, he didn't create that.
Nightmare Before Christmas, that was his.
He has had a lot of really good original ideas.
Yeah, I'd say Ed Wood. I mean, I still stand by that wasn't a pre-made idea.
And
but
also,
it was
the original
like
Frankenweenie came out, like... probably 25 years
ago.
That
was a good little movie.
Like, yeah,
that was
exactly.
A great
and it's like he just took that, expanded on that.
Mm-hmm. Sleepy Hollow. He didn't create Sleepy Hollow, or I guess the story.
That was Andrew Kevin Walker, man.
Yeah.
But
I think it's actually cool that they put an actual idea, because maybe it was just to combat people to be like, oh, Tim Burton has all he does is just like rejuvenate like grim fairy tales or whatever.
He's got to stop making straight up adaptations.
Yeah. Was Big Fish, like, was that his?
No, that was John August.
That was based on a book.
That was also, yeah, that was adapted by John August. But I was like, I mean, but I feel like...
Corpse Bride, was that his?
That was his original idea, yeah. Well, it was based on like a, what was it, like a Eastern European fable. But yeah. Then he
rejuvenated.
Yeah, But anyways, I think, well, Tim Burton, but I'm hoping that Sam Raimi does a better job. I just really hope Sam Raimi does a better job.
One more thing about Tim Burton is that I did see the MoMA exhibit.
Yeah, I saw that. That was awesome.
And I will say, like, the man is full of ideas. Like, he's probably drowning in ideas. So that's, like, it's not that he is not capable of it. I just hope that he surrounds himself more of people that will tell him if something doesn't work.
Oh, yeah, and he was instrumental in developing and making Pee-wee's Big Adventure.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I mean, he didn't create Pee-wee.
But he
made that movie.
Yeah.
Launched it, you know?
Yeah, Big Top Pee-wee, not as good.
So weird. Who did that one?
Was Tim Burton, too.
Wow. See, that's always what happens. Tim Burton's sequels is just out of control.
Yeah, like, he's like, I gotta make it weirder and crazier. Yeah.
I don't know.
Weirder and crazier.
I mean, I gotta admit, I still love Batman Returns.
Yeah.
It's so dark and weird and violent.
So my whole thing with The Wizard of Oz is, like, I was telling Cooney the other day, it's like, Wizard of Oz, the Judy Garland movie, is my all-time favorite movie. I don't know, never say never, but I don't know if there will be ever a movie that can surpass that, because it has been ingrained in my brain, and as a child, I would watch that for, like, 3 times a day.
It
is my movie of life, you know? And... So, I'm not necessarily looking for anything to replace that.
But it's not the same movie, though. It's not the same story.
It's not the same movie, but the thing is, it has to live up to, like, a major people that are really into the Oz lifestyle.
Well, I think the question that you brought up, Carolyn, before, like, is it gonna look too CGI?
Yes,
and I was like,
yes, it will.
I was like, did you see the trailer?
More importantly than that, it's the story. And the character connection.
It's probably going to be bad.
You think so? Because Sam Raimi sticks pretty well with that when he does.
I mean, like, here's the problem with a lot of people's interpretation of what they want to create for a prequel or sequel, whatever.
Well, this is already a book beforehand, though, right?
Yes.
Well, I mean, you're talking about Wicked?
No, I'm talking about The Great and Powerful.
Oz. Yes. Was it an actual book?
Yes. Okay. It's like a pre-Wizard of Oz.
Because how many Wizard of Oz books are there? There's several.
There's like, I don't know. I didn't actually read all the books.
There's Return to Oz. Remember Return to Oz?
There's like 20.
I never read it.
Did you?
There's like 20 different Oz books. I don't know all of them, but there's a handful of them.
Yeah.
So what was the original one? It was just... The Wonderful Wizard of Oz.
Yeah.
Well, that was a book too, right?
Yeah.
So that was almost like in Star Wars, that was like Episode 4. That was like the New Hope.
Yeah.
And they just sort of started in the middle. So there's before and after stuff?
I believe so.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, I think you're going to be really disappointed because
we're all looking forward to it.
Yeah, yeah. A lot of the modern movies nowadays are really not trying to create a timeless quality. They're trying to make it relevant so that people, you know, will sit down and go to theaters.
Yeah.
I mean, like, that's what happened with Alice in Wonderland. I think it was trying to give it that very, like, timeless quality of Alice in Wonderland, the original cartoon movie.
Yeah, but then they had dances.
Yeah, and they had, but then you ended up having Johnny Depp do a breakdance. I'm like, no.
That was the final straw of that. No. I was like, I could deal with this. And then at the end, he danced this weird
like a jibber reverse, jobby.
And no, I was just like, what the hell am I watching?
And it had a rap song in the background of it. And I'm like,
I was like, no, please. No.
They're trying to be too hip for the youngsters.
And then Anne Hathaway was like clapping and she was smiling. I'm like, no. You should not smile and you should not clap at this bullshit.
I was like, yeah, stop. That was bullshit.
To me, like, it wasn't even just that dance that irritated me. It was most of the movie. Like, visually, there were some really good aspects.
And that was 3D, too, right?
And I will say, I looked forward to watching it. I was, like, really pumped. I pumped myself up. Maybe I shouldn't pump myself up as much for Oz. Yes. With the glasses and all. But, like, I was like, yeah, Burton, Alice in Wonderland, this thing's gonna rock. And, like, the whole cast, I was all down with, like, all the casting.
Yeah.
I was like, these people are gonna rule. Mm-hmm. The movie's gonna rule. It's gonna look awesome. I walked out of the theater feeling no connection with any of the characters and just basically feeling nothing.
Especially when they end with that, what's Skater Boy singer? Who sang that song?
Avril Lavigne.
Oh, she sang the end credits? At the,
yeah. And I don't know. I was just like, felt really disappointed. And I was just like, man, I was like, in my head, I was like, I talked myself up this movie for several months.
Actually, the design of the end credits was my favorite part of the movie. They had it like, it was like framed and things were growing.
One thing that was really weird about that Alice in Wonderland movie was that they were trying to connect all the characters together to create this one singular story. But the whole thing about Alice, the whole story about Alice in Looking Glass, is like it's her going on a journey with all these like weird fantastical elements that really didn't connect to each other. It's a journey.
Yeah.
And she neither went on a journey. And she did not learn anything specific. She fought a dragon at the end.
Except that Helen Bonham Carter's character has a giant head.
That was a cool looking character.
That was pretty impressive. That was actually my favorite character, was her. But it still didn't hit me enough emotionally. Like, I don't know. When I walk out of a theater, I like to think about the characters for like at least a day or two afterwards.
So how
maybe
would,
that's just me. But I like to like think about them.
Now let's remember this
and have like, it last longer.
The Alice in Wonderland fan fiction.
The Great and Powerful Oz is a different director. I still believe that Sam Raimi can tell a good story with adventure in it. You know what I mean?
There's
something about that him that I can still say he can tell a story. Dude. He didn't have to rush through this one like the last movies he did.
Will there be dancing?
Dude,
there's probably going to be dancing in there somewhere.
Sam Raimi is...
You're going to see dancing in the beginning. You're going to see dancing in black and white.
I remember there was in one of the trailers, they were starting to sing, like the Munchkins were starting to sing, and then James Franco said something like, please stop. And then they're like...
You know what's really sad about the whole thing? It's like, Sam Raimi can do really good work, but for the most part, he's like Tim Burton. He gets kind of like wrapped up in his own eccentricities and his own obsessions, and that gets to the best of him.
But also, Sam Raimi doesn't have like, there's no Sam Raimi filter. Well, there's sort of Sam Raimi acting, but there's not like Sam Raimi.
He's a terrible writer, though.
But he didn't write this, though, right?
I know, but I'm just saying that he's just a terrible writer because Spider-Man 3, hello, my God.
Hello, my God. We can have a whole entire conversation about how much I want to see the original Spider-Man 3, the two-parter that was supposed to be with the Vulture.
With the Vulture? With the cancer-ridden Ben Kingsley Vulture?
Yeah, I wanted to see that. Because I can tell from Sam Raimi, that's what he wanted to do. And they forced Venom on him. And they're like, well, okay, I'll do it then.
Even the Sandman character, I felt like the Sandman character was actually an interesting villain.
Yeah.
I would like to see where that went, but instead he just floated away. My kid's going to die. I'm going to float away
some
now.
Some random
bye.
Wind.
Yeah.
Just takes like, him away.
Whoa, hey.
Well, I guess with the Oz movie, I shouldn't like, I'm still going to get excited for it, but I'm not going to pump myself up as much as I was excited to see.
Well, how can it not be?
Do you really want to see James Franco as Oz?
Kind of. I am a James Franco fan because, you know, Freaks and Geeks and everything.
I feel like
Mila Kunis, isn't it?
I've known about James Franco for a really long time.
Actually, if you look at this cast, this cast is all TV show people.
Michelle Williams?
Yep.
Rachel Weisz.
Mila Kunis is in it.
Rachel Weisz.
That's true.
She is not TV. She is cinema all the way.
She is Aronofsky. She is...
Ex-wife of Aronofsky.
She is... what's it called? Mummy. I mean, she was the mummy. She was in the mummy.
And one of the CGI monkeys is voiced by Zach Braff.
Really?
Yeah.
That's cool though.
What happened to him? There you go.
Garden State? That's all. Then he kind of just drifted away.
Voice to monkey. Well, he's trying to make a new TV series. Right?
He's still around though. I'm not like offended by him being a voice of a monkey.
So how can the Great and Powerful Oz? You know, how can that work? Like, what does Sam Raimi have to do to make that work?
I have to walk out of the theater, like, feeling good and also the characters
and
being able to think about it for the
next
day.
It's got to have a timeless quality.
How are you going to do that with all this CGI up the ass?
It's not about the method. It's not about the technical elements that make a movie. It's about the way you tell it. The simplicity and earnestness and really sticking to guns on theme and character development.
I think this movie's going to go over 2.5 hours. I think it has to.
God, it's going to be a fucking Avatar bullshit again. Same Hobbit bullshit, too. It's like, ugh.
Yeah. There is a point, though, where everything is, like, too perfect.
Because I remember
like,
you said
the Hobbit,
that.
I felt like I'm. I mean, I enjoyed it.
I am
at
not
the same
a fan
time.
Of that 48.
I will say that. Man. Yeah, so. I will say that it's just like, it almost like looks too. I'm not saying there's nothing, anything wrong with the crispness and like everything's trying to be perfect, but it really did feel like it's so flawless. Look at it. Everything's smooth and dreamy.
Why don't you like it, CUNY?
What?
The 48 frames per second that everyone's talking about.
That everyone thinks is marvelous. And then when they talk about it,
everyone's all pushing.
When they talk about it, they act like they made it.
It's amazing. There's a lot of people that are like, oh my God. And they, like the, I guess civilians will be like, can they shot it on the red? And it's like,
that's how they talk about it.
This is my own personal taste. The stutteriness and the whatchamacallit, the motion blur.
Shutter blur, yeah.
Of 24 frames per second.
You can see everything.
Well, it gives a certain amount of distance. It gives a certain sort of magic and quality that makes it very distinctively cinematic.
Like you keep that flipbook aesthetic still alive.
Yeah, that flicker, that little bit of that little extra element that's just enough to keep you out without being fully immersed.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the cool thing. It's teetering between reality and non-reality.
And these are digital projections they're doing too,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So it's not like they don't have...
But 48's getting closer to that reality. It's like, ooh, I can touch the screen. I'm like, I don't really want to touch the screen. There's a certain distance I would like to have with me and the work that's being shown in front of me.
Yeah.
And that will give me a very good evaluation of... story and ideas. I mean, sure, you want to make it into a great experiential thing, but at the same time, you're there to watch a story.
Was it one of those things where Peter Jackson, like, once he started shooting in that, basically in that format, he's like, well, even if he slightly didn't like it anymore, he's like, well, I gotta keep going with it.
I think it's a combination of you want to get butts in seats in theaters, and also
they can be this one to say we're the first people to do this.
Yeah, and also you're kind of like you've reached a certain pinnacle. Where can you go? I mean, same thing with Christopher Nolan and wanting to do a lot of things in IMAX.
Yeah,
like, I made a really fucking fantastic movie. What can I do to top it? And then I made a phenomenal movie. What can I do to even top that? And same thing with J.J. Abrams. Constantly wanted to. Up to Annie. It's just people who are, what are they're those directors that have the $200 million budget. They're showing.
They want to be inventors to a certain extent.
They want to be George Méliès. How about that?
So let's talk about Girl Meets World.
Okay. All right.
Because we are all three excited about Girl Meets World.
I don't know. Joe isn't as excited. I'm fucking.
Joe
excited.
Is excited. He's just not showing it.
Okay. I really just have no emotions a lot of times.
Excited.
I have been watching a lot of Boy Meets World, and I remember you texted me.
Yeah, you texted
me about, like, I'm watching this episode. It was just in the morning, too.
It was 8 o'clock in the morning.
I was woken
on
up
ABC
by,
Family?
I was
yeah,
woken
ABC
up
family.
By this, yeah. I was woken up by a text that basically said Cooney was like, I'm watching this episode of Boy Meets World where they're talking about sex, but they're trying not to use the word sex at all.
Yeah. And they do. I was talking to Carolyn about it. Like, they show scenes like any other sitcom in terms of sex. In terms of, like, you watch this TV PG or TV 14 and, multicam sitcom scenario. And they have, like, scenes where it's, like, the husband and wife are, like, seducing each other. They're wearing, like, sexy negligee and taking it off. And they're, like,
making not really,
covers.
It's not really sexy at all.
I mean, but, like, in any other show, you would garner a TV PG or TV 14 out of it.
Yeah.
But anyways, they show all that, and then they just cut out the word sex.
As in they didn't use it, or they just cut out the word?
They just cut out the word. But they're talking about, like, we can do it all the time. We're married now. We can do it all the time now. And then Corey's
like,
do
it.
Yeah!
Let's do it.
Well, they waited to have sex too, right?
I know. They were.
But I think that's what made it specialer.
Yeah. Because
it wasn't just like, hey, it wasn't like 90210. It's just like, or like Gossip Girl with like, no,
but that,
thrust, like thrusting, like being like.
What?
Yeah.
Is that what they do in Gossip Girl?
Yeah.
But that's
like all lit like that.
That's what made it also freaky in that episode. Because it devoted to the first half of the episode was devoted to like Cory and Topanga trying to do it, and they get thwarted like three times, and then finally they go to Hawaii and they fucking do it for like 3 days. They made it seem like So they were just like making hot monkey love for 3 days straight.
On the tropical island of Hawaii.
Yeah, which is really funny because like you always hear about like people being like, oh yeah, I do it for like an hour, man. And then like it's funny because like I listen to, like I used to listen to Loveline and now I listen to Dr. Drew and Adam. They have like their own podcast on Adam Carolla's network. And like Dr. Drew's like, yeah, it really does start to hurt like after like 10 minutes on a lady, 10 to like maybe 15 minutes. He's like, you really shouldn't go past that. And I always hear like these guys like all being like, yeah, I do it for hours.
All night long.
Yeah, all day.
All day, all night.
And I'm like, who are these people that are going for like over 15 minutes? You know, like it doesn't happen that way.
I mean, isn't that like more of a marathon thing rather than like sprinting?
Maybe. I don't know. Like there, I guess you could lead up to it. Like you could have like rolling around in the sheets like that, but I don't know if they're counting that as part of the sex. No,
foreplay. No, I think it's like insertion and on, because I think
and on.
Well, it's like, isn't it like a marathon thing? You just have to keep it in.
Yeah, and but who can do that for like, I'm sure people can do it for an hour maybe, but like they were saying like
days,
I guess according
8 hours upon
according
days.
To Dr. Drew, who is like a sex kind of expert, like, he does say that, like, anything over 15 minutes really starts to hurt.
Okay, how about this? Maybe it's so, not like you're constantly in it. You just kind of, like, you test the waters for about 10 minutes, take it out, cool down a little bit.
Talk a little bit.
Yeah.
Have a snack.
Yeah, have a snack. Talk
so
less stuff.
It's basically
get back
like
to it.
In bed all day, but you're in and out.
It's just not just not thrusting for 8 hours
all
night.
You're not trying to, like, you know, beat that woman. Into the mattress.
Yeah, I guess like they were saying like as far as like the thrusting, like I guess you really can't do that for beyond like 15 minutes. I guess you could, but
no,
it starts to hurt.
No, it's too much effort. It's too much effort.
So basically, you're saying
that.
No, yeah.
They showed all of these scenes, but probably not shot as hot in Boy Meets World.
You're saying Boy Meets World's unrealistic in that sense.
Yes. To a certain extent, I think that's an over-exaggeration. I mean, that show is crazy. And Eric, the brother, just got crazier as the seasons went on.
He did. He went absolutely nuts.
Remember, he was like somewhat like a wise ass at the beginning of
and
the
he
show?
He was like, oh, like
and
the popular sort of.
And he became crazy.
Like, legitimately, like, Bee! Like, he started doing like the being all nuts.
Yeah. He enjoys squirrels, apparently, in later seasons.
That's what happens when you go to college, man. You just get nuts like that. That's,
well,
how it is.
Did he not go to college?
He did go to college.
Did he?
He did.
I should know this. I'm a big fan.
Oh, man. I'm not sure. He was a townie.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so here's the thing that's happening right now. The main story is Corey and Topanga get married, right? And they had a kid during college, probably. And she's now 13, which is the same age which Corey was in the show originally. So you have her, and you have her Sean, right?
Well,
there's a Sean character that's like female.
Yeah, but yes, her best friend, which is the girl version of Sean.
The edgy
girl.
Well, because she's black?
Is she black?
I don't know. It hasn't been casted yet.
That hasn't been casted.
Oh, you're talking about. Oh, yeah.
We're talking about the daughter of Corey and Topanga's best friend.
Oh, okay, yeah.
So, some, like, the blogosphere have hinted that possibly maybe the fact that she doesn't. Her Sean doesn't know who her parents are.
Yeah,
could be that maybe like Sean is her dad. So that'll make for a really good guest arc for Sean to come back.
Oh, I haven't heard that yet.
If that's not true, I feel like that would make for a really cool storyline. And I think
I know that
the creators should do that.
Michael Jacobs.
Yes,
Michael Jacobs. Are you listening?
Yeah.
Because we want you to do that.
Yeah, we want you to do that because that would be the greatest plot twist.
I have heard that Sean is not going to be back, but he might be for guest spots, but he's not going to be a full cast member.
That's good. I'm okay with that.
A lot of people are very upset about it.
Why?
They just want their Sean.
You know what's really funny about
Sean.
It?
They want the Cabin Woods guy.
They just need to realize that this show is not going to be the Corey and Topanga show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're going to be like the equivalent of the dad and mom in Boy Meets World.
Because and how many times you really see
yeah, they get a little bit more, but it's not. It's gonna be like her, and then
you're gonna see them in the kitchen, in the house, and stuff like that.
Yeah. And well, Corey is her teacher.
Oh yeah, that's right.
He's both her dad
sucks.
And Mr. Feeney.
See, realistically, that sucks. If I was that girl, to be like, oh, I go home and I see my dad, and I go to school and my teacher. It's like you never escape the dad.
I have a feeling though, in real life. I don't think that they would actually do that. Because
I think that you can't do that, right?
Yeah, because I remember there was a teacher who was at my elementary school, whose mm-hmm. son went there.
Yeah, yeah.
And I don't...
You're not allowed to do that, I think.
But even still, it's weird when your mom is like a teacher at
maybe
the school.
Maybe he's... Is he a teacher or is he the principal?
He's the teacher.
All right.
So he could
remember
be
Feeny, like Yoda. Remember, yeah, but remember, Feeny was the teacher and the principal.
He was the teacher in the elementary middle school, and he became the... principal
when they moved to high school.
And then then there was what's his name, John, or what was the cool teacher that they had?
It's funny,
I forgot his name.
Yeah, yeah. And remember that
they
nerd
got the motorcycle,
the nerd that was in the first two seasons, or
yeah,
first
they
season?
Just got rid of him fast.
And he came back in
later ones.
Yeah, yeah,
his name was like Minkus.
Yeah, Minkus. Yeah. Minkus came back because the whole point was that
Minkus and Milhouse, same character. Yeah.
Minkus was apparently in the other side of the school, which is beyond the set of the school. So that was the joke. And that's where also the cool teacher was.
Oh.
That's the whole point. That was like they were all stuck in the void beyond the set of the high school set.
That's how my high school was set up, too. You had long sections where you don't ever go to.
And then there were trailers outside.
Yeah, and there's trailers, so you know, sometimes you don't see parts of the school.
Terrible.
We're trying to realistically make
okay,
it make
so
sense.
Who should come back for Girl Meets World? Crazy Uncle Eric.
Why
yes.
not?
He would be hilarious on that show.
But he's not, so far, the only people that are full on cast are Cory and Topanga.
But you gotta surround...
They need to have certain people to come back.
So people like us can come back.
And I think it's going to be awesome because all the young kids that have not seen the original Boy Meets World are going to want to watch it because I'm sure they're going to flip it around to be like this cool Disney
yeah,
Channel
it's,
show.
Yeah, it should be an ABC Family show, to be honest. It
okay.
should be.
Yeah.
Is it Disney? Is it going to be on Disney or ABC Family?
It's going to be on Disney.
Oh, okay.
It should be on ABC Family because that would be a perfect
because
channel.
They can show them back
they,
to
yeah,
back.
Yeah, they show that shit all the time.
So like... Yeah, who knows? I don't know what the young kids are watching, but I don't know if they're watching Boy Meets World.
They're watching
right
Pretty
now.
Little Liars. That's what they're watching.
Yes, they're all like, oh, that's so sexy.
Or
and then
Bunheads.
They're going to end up watching...
God, Bunheads.
I don't like the title of that show because it makes me think of Indian people. Not
just,
ballet dancers.
I'm just imagining know, like right? girls with cinnamon buns for their heads, and I'm like, delicious.
Bunheads.
I don't... Yeah, I wouldn't...
Cinnamon buns, Cinnabuns.
I'm not a fan Cinnabon of heads. That. But anyway, I wonder what like the I don't know if young kids are actually watching Boy Meets World. I'm sure some people.
Oh
might
God,
be.
I hope they do because that's a. Because
then it would connect.
Show.
The, it would I know, but it would also connect them to watch Girl Meets World.
Yeah.
And on top of that, so they're gonna get all the people from the previous, like let's say generation us, yeah. watching it, yeah. plus people that are our age that have kids.
Yeah.
They're gonna want to watch it and introduce it to their kids.
It's gotta have the same. It's gotta have the same level of maturity. I'm hoping it does.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't want it to be like. What's that other one of the two twins? Like
sister
that are blonde. No, it's on right now. It's like these two, like Zach and Cody's Extreme Life or something.
That makes me
want to
kill you right now.
Why?
just hearing the most basic plot line of what you just talked about that show.
I've never actually seen it, but I just the Extreme Life of Zach and Cody or something. And then they have like some other show that I saw because. I was watching with a young child, and basically, like, she was watching all these shows that, to me, like, did not stand up to the Boy Meets World quality. Yeah,
yeah. It's tough, because that was, like, super well-written. Like, that was uncanny. Like,
I should stop, like, ragging on these shows.
Which ones?
Why? You think the Disney and the Disney XD shows.
You think one day,
you probably
Disney XD?
Work on it.
No, no, because...
I don't even know what XD stands for.
No, because, a friend of mine... he's writing for one of the shows. So.
That's fun. It's probably Zach and whatever. Since
he does make fun of it himself, though. That's just kind of.
But
funny.
Anyway,
yeah,
what,
but like, yeah, I don't make fun of him.
I mean,
my friend was on The Sweet Life.
That's what it is. The Sweet Life with Zach and Cody. But you know
the
what?
Sweet Life is it SUITE?
I think so.
Yeah.
Oh, that's awful.
Yeah. I haven't really seen the show, my opinion probably isn't super valid. But it's just like when I look at it, I'm just like, man, that does not stack up.
Yeah, but they really, really go hard for like those literal laughs on those shows. Yeah. Like hardcore.
Is it going to be like, I know a lot of Nickelodeon and Disney shows, they're...
That's what I've not seen in a while.
They're not taped in front of a live studio audience.
The original Boy Meets World was.
Yeah. So I'm hoping it does.
And here's also my other suggestion.
Family Matters, Step by Step.
Also was based in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, I wish that they referenced that area more and actually, like, at least maybe for the intro.
Are they going to still live in Philadelphia?
I don't know. I think that would be cool if they were.
Yeah.
But I think that they should, if they do, like, a show intro, they should show, like, them walking down the street there or something. There's something cool like that so that you know that they're in Philly.
Yeah.
And even if they don't, I think they're probably going to be filming in California, which is fine, but it would be cool if they did kind of get like some stock imagery to like place there or somehow like recreate like a bar there or some type of scene that kind of looks like Philadelphia.
I just want Feeny back.
He's still alive too, right?
He's still alive, man. Alive and he's kicking on Grey's Anatomy.
Is he?
Yeah, I think so.
What?
He's on Grey's Anatomy.
I didn't
still
even
alive?
Know Grey's Anatomy.
Grey's Anatomy still
That's
alive?
Pretty cool that he's still working. He needs to come back. See, I think that everybody that was prominent does need to come back. Even the old parents, they can be grandparents and come back. You know, like everybody does need to, at least for one show. Or at least try to work it in, you know?
It's kind of weird too, because it's like, what are you going to do? How is that going to happen? What is, you know? It's kind of weird for me because I would know, like, if I, you know, like if I was a parent and I was watching it, I would know all these characters.
Yeah.
I would love them.
Yeah.
But
it's a perfect like, show for you if you had a kid.
Yeah,
like,
but my kid would not know any of this shit.
Yeah.
So it's like, how do you explain it? What would happen? You know, it's like,
it
well,
should
that's
be good
it
enough
to
stand
be
up. It should be good enough to stand on its own too.
And it works
like with Batman. It's like Batman Beyond. It's actually like Batman
yeah,
Beyond.
Yeah,
if
yeah.
you think about it.
Well, because that was like a direct sequel of Batman the animated series.
Yes,
right? Yeah.
But still had Bruce. I mean, as older now, and
yeah.
then you have a younger
yeah.
daughter, but you still introduce the older characters.
That Phantasm, right?
The yeah,
mass. Yeah, Phantasm. That's crazy.
That's how you do it. That's how you get both generations together. Join
both
generations.
Also, I think that Corey and Topanga are going to play more of a role than the former parents did, just because like
they're younger,
yeah. And like also, I mean, I haven't really seen many pictures of Savage, but like I know Topanga is still around. She still looks good.
Yeah, Dave
There's
aged,
no reason to like
Dave
not
aged,
show
well.
Her on camera.
They're both like 30, 31,
how many
32.
Years? It's been what, like 10 years? It's not bad.
Yeah, about 10 years.
Yeah, they're still fresh.
Yeah, they're still, like, TV-worthy, so...
They're very young parents.
Yes.
Yeah,
so,
that's what I was wondering. I was like, that's
so
a pretty young
it's probably
age.
Gonna be, like, a lot of stuff about, like, you know, relationship between parents and daughter, but also, like, the parents thinking that they're cool enough to hang out with their daughter, but
and
they're
not
really
not.
Yeah. I'm hoping that they do really do complicated subject matters like that. It's about, like, the parent... You know, parent-child relationship.
You're gonna have episodes about like sexting. You're gonna have.
It's gonna
be an
updated version of that.
Yeah,
like, or
it
even
has
like
to
how you know
like
Eric
that.
Had like girl in his room, and then they found the earring.
We should just be at the writer's table right now, just writing stuff.
I would love to be
Seriously?
At the writer's table. I'll be like, what's the name of the girl? What's the name of the daughter?
There's no name yet.
Oh, we'll just name her Hattie.
Yeah, Hattie.
Hattie is an awesome name too.
It has to be something that sounds like Corey.
Oh, Cora. They got to do the theme episodes. They got to do
the Halloween one.
No. I'm talking about like the ones where the cast member sits in front of the couch and says whatever the theme of the episode was, and then contact if you like
oh, what are
crime
those, like
prevention
a,
or like
yeah,
drunk
yeah,
driving
like,
or something.
Look, if you know someone that's been abused,
like basically
call
a PSA.
Yeah, the PSA episode.
Like it's always
I mean,
at
they
the
did
very
like 20
end.
Of those, 30 of those throughout the yeah. series.
It's always at the very end of the episode too, like after yeah. the after they fade out and
yeah.
then they fade back up.
It's so sober too. And
yeah.
like, ugh. What?
Oh,
this is
my
a
goodness.
Why is this it's
and
a
you
sitcom?
Can't, and you can't have you have to have the serious character say it. You can't have like Eric Matthews say like if you have a friend that's depressed,
yeah,
you know what I mean.
Yeah,
if you know somebody, or like if you've ever witnessed, it's always started with lines like that.
You know what? Seriously though, if we could write for Girl Meets World,
I'm pitching it right now. We should write for Girl Meets. We can pitch our.
I think
trio.
We totally could.
Yeah.
Just like
and
we
also
know it.
On top of it, like I really
get
do
that Disney
wanna
money.
Have a, I want to have a Girl Meets World like comic book or Boy Meets World
pitch
comic
it. Yeah,
book. I want.
That's how
to,
we get
like,
on. That's how we get on the teams. Like, listen, we can write a whole episode already.
So there's a sexting episode. Sexting also yeah. leads into like video.
Lots of bullying can
video,
happen.
Bullying,
video
web chat.
Video,
yeah.
Video.
Internet stuff.
Yeah.
Sports. Trying to maybe
suicide.
She can sort of be a tomboyish too. Why
oh,
not?
Oh. Peer pressure from Kit. Helicopter parents.
Yeah. What? Helicopter. Parents?
Yeah, like the ones that crowd and like
oh,
pressure
yeah, yeah.
kids, you know.
Well, thanks for being on the show, Kitty.
Yeah.
Maybe we can even have like
we can't give away
kid.
All of our secrets, but we can definitely tell them
oh
that
God.
We should be on the show on the writing team.
I'm too jazzed up right now thinking about ideas.
Seriously, Michael Jacobs, give us a call.
Give us a call. Well, there you go.
My email is info@curls-studio.com.
That's right. There you go, ladies and gentlemen. Check out astrayproductions.com. We produce the show. Go astray. curls-studio.tumblr.com. That's where you can check out my work. You check out Carolyn's work at curls-studio.com and curls-studio.com/curls for her comic strip. Hey, Cooney.
Hey, what's up?
Thanks for being on the show, sir.
Thanks, Cooney. Thank you.
Thanks a lot.
It was great.
Hey, Carolyn.
Hey, Joe.
I'll catch you next week.
Goodbye.
See you later. See you, Cooney.
23 Skidoo.
What?
Goodbye forever.
Bye, everybody.